Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Doug, show's on now. In for Darren Millard, yours truly, Jeff Merrick. Welcome to Hockey Central at noon, alongside Nick Kiprios, Scott Morrison, and the aforementioned Doug McLean.
My last show.
Your last show? You're convinced? After this, your card doesn't
ever
work?
Well, for this year.
Oh, okay. I thought you were breaking news here.
No, but, you know, matter of fact, I got early retirement. I have a flight at 2:45, so let's get this on the show on the road here.
Why has Doug loaded up all of his suits in that rack?
Whether or not we talk, you still have to be here till 1 o'clock.
12:52.
Yes. But who's counting?
Break the news to you. Four-man panel today. Alex Goligoski is going to join us bottom of the hour as well. Arizona Coyotes defenseman. In the meantime, plenty to get to, and that includes the NHL awards from last night. That includes some big signings, one of them in Florida. Speaking of defensemen, Keith Yandle, a very rich man, 6.3 times 7. In the meantime, the big news coming out of yesterday, the NHL's worst-kept secret, Las Vegas, now turns 30 teams into 31 in the NHL. Around the table, wide brush thoughts, starting with you, Nick Kiprios.
Yeah, listen, still hard to believe.
Why?
For me.
The waters have been chummed for a few years.
No. Not that. Just that it just got to the point where they actually got a team. And being the first professional team, mainstream, right, of all the big leagues out there to take that chance on a market that has never been there before. We know at the American Hockey League, International Hockey League, but we don't know as a big stage now. So the question is, community outside of that strip, how do they welcome it? Mm-hmm. First 3 or 4 years, you know, could be very healthy, like San Jose, pretty much. We talked about that the other day. But after that, the sustaining power, the ability to, how quickly do they have to win now? How quickly do they have to be a team that can make noise? Or can they just, can they ride the wave a little bit here for the next little while if they don't end up being competitive?
When you look at the expansion draft rules, and Scott, your thoughts on this one, it seems as if the NHL knows this can't be a negative story. To Nick's point, when you're first in the market, the story has to be positive. This team has to be competitive. You know, unlike what teams like, Doug, you know, Columbus, Minnesota, Nashville were strung with when they came into the NHL, it seems as if the NHL is doing whatever it takes in their power to make sure the headlines for Nashville are positive ones.
Yeah, it was pretty clear from the commissioner's comments afterwards, after the governor's meeting, that the belief is from the NHL that this expansion draft is the best ever and designed to make this team the most successful, the quickest, if they make the right choices, obviously. So, yeah, I think that is very much the NHL's intention to make sure that this team succeeds, and we'll see. The part of it, not surprised that they've gone to Vegas. The part of it that surprises me is I still can't get my head wrapped around $500 million.
First of all, Doug, do you have your application in yet?
No.
Maybe that's why it's the last show.
To pay $500 million for a franchise, I don't know how in that market and in most markets you can ever make it work financially. I don't get it. I don't get where the dollars are going to come from to do it. Along the same lines as what Nick said, I'm glad the NHL's there. I'm glad the owners get their $500 million. It's great. What happens if the NFL goes in there? What happens if the NBA goes in there?
I think NBA's a bigger concern.
You think it'll squash the NHL?
I think it would. Well, it wouldn't squash it, but listen, Columbus is Columbus, but our competition was Ohio State. And let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. It was severe competition. 100,000 people, but it was a weekend type thing. But it was just the Buckeyes were that big. Buckeye basketball drew 18,000. Buckeye football drew 100,000. Corporately, it's a challenge. So what happens there if the NFL comes in? That to me would make me a touch nervous. And the $500 million, I just don't see how it can be anywhere close to a viable How do you get a return on your $500 million? I'm sorry, I don't know. But hey, if you're rich enough and you don't care, that's fine.
Do you think that that automatically makes 29 other franchises worth minimum $500 million? You buy that?
Well, it depends if you...
No.
If you're a... Like, are you going to pay $500 million for the Florida Panthers when you lose $30 million a year?
What did Winnipeg pay a few years ago? Under $200 million?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Vinnick, I think Vinnick in Tampa paid in the 200, 180, 170 range, in that range. And I dare say, even though they went to the finals, I bet you they're hard-pressed to make money in Tampa. So I just don't see how you make it work financially. But if Mr. Foley is wealthy enough and doesn't care, that's fine.
You can put it on the market at 500,
right?
But it's only 500 if you got a seller, a buyer.
You know, can Pitt get 6+? That's the talk out there that that they were trying as high as 700 million. And that's with Sid, and now that's with a Stanley Cup, right?
I got to believe that their chances improved dramatically. And again, you have to say, okay, you've got to really look a lot deeper and say, what's the business plan? What's the revenue streams? What's the building deal? That's where you can really get a better feel. And what's the local TV market in Florida? Then you can put the numbers down. But I'm telling you guys, to get more than $100 million in revenue out of an NHL market, and I'm not talking the Torontos and the New Yorks and the big seven, we'll say. To get $100 million out of a market is a lot of money.
Boy,
I hope it works.
You watched that press conference yesterday and you listen to Bill Foley, the owner, and you just listen to him. And from everything, including naming the team, how many times did he say, you know, or putting a management team, we got to refer to the league, right? We got to...
Everything's that's no surprise.
No, I know that, but that's no surprise. It's just such a far cry from Balsillie, say, trying to buy Pittsburgh, and it's like,
and that's why he doesn't have Pittsburgh
and Nashville and Phoenix,
and then you got Bill up there sitting there going, "Well, we got to refer to the league. Everything's through the league, even the naming of the team." And he apparently likes this Black Knights. But now it's like, no, we gotta, everything's got to come through the league.
And that will happen till the actual check is in the league's hands, and then the referee makes the first bad call and he loses a game because of it. He'll be referred to the league, but in a different vein.
To Nick's point, though, that is very much standard business operation.
Bill
Foley comes in as a new owner. I mean, we've seen new owners come in and the commissioner advise on hires, and you run through someone's resume and how they behaved and what they've done. And you know, in a situation with Las Vegas, and you look at how they're doing expansion, you look at how they're going to be in the lottery. This has to be successful. I don't think this is going to be an entry-level position for anybody, whether it's GM, whether it's assistant general manager, whether it's head coach. We heard, you know, some names, whether it was, you know, Mellenby and Craven's name is out there, George McPhee. I mean, McPhee certainly got some experience. Mellenby as well has some experience. Craven, like, they're not, I don't think they're going to hand this to someone who hasn't done this job before.
I think, you know, Scott Mellenby, I happen to like a lot. I was with him a fair amount of time in Florida. Quality, you know, I hope he has a chance to get the job. I really do. And then you say the league will be pushing for a very experienced guy because they're scared. They can't afford for this to bomb. They can't afford it. And
that's it.
So, you know, and I give Gary Bettman big time credit. He has done a miraculous job of finding rich people to buy these teams. He's done an unbelievable job, because I'm telling you, it was tense for a long time. Gary had 8 hot buttons at one time in his hands trying to keep the fires out, and he's done an unbelievable job of bringing in big time money.
I think I'm not a big fan of Black Knights.
No,
I think they got to stick to that Vegas theme.
Well, it's West Point,
right?
So they got to go with West Point, the same as Florida. No.
Florida against Vegas
Vegas. Think more Vegas. Las Vegas, wise guys, right? You don't need
the maid guys.
You don't need Scott Mellenby as your general manager. You need Sammy the Bull, right? You need Vinny the Chin as the assistant general manager. And that way you go into the draft and it's like, you know, you're getting every call returned.
Yeah.
And the conversation will probably go like, you're going to like this deal, Lou.
Who are those two Jalonis that went on last night from
Vegas? And I'll tell you why.
Scott?
You'll make it.
Okay.
Who are the two Jalonis that went on there, the big tall guy and the short guy, and did the Vegas
thing?
Penn and Teller.
Like, seriously.
I love those guys. I'm sorry. If you ever seen the show, it's too. Spectacular.
I love them, too. But last night, that was bad.
I don't know at the NHL Awards, but they do a dynamic show. They do a great show.
How about the Las Vegas Wayne Newtons?
I'll tell you what. That wouldn't sell a lot of tickets for them at performance last night. I'm sorry.
It probably wasn't helping.
They should have made a few people disappear in that room. That's what they should have done.
I love that skit with Shanahan, Bettman, and Will. Oh, my God. How did that ever get to air?
We're getting there.
I'm sorry. How did that get on the air?
I really hope our Elliot Friedman ended up with an endorsement deal for a lifetime with EA Sports.
At least I hope they gave him a video game.
Along your vein, it's not the Black Knights. It should be the Black Jacks.
Aha. Yes, because the league wants association with gambling.
No.
Want it even tighter. Sure, Doug.
No, I'm thinking Goodfellas.
That came from James Rankin. Goodfellas. That came from James Rankin in Summerside, by the way, that Black Jacks.
That's pretty good.
And also somebody mentioned, no, I'm not going to. I was talking about the adult hockey.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there. I've got another name for the adult.
Stream of consciousness for Doug to play. You know this thing is hot, right?
Quit while you're behind.
The rec league won't be called the adult rec league. It'll be called, anyway.
You know, Doug, there's an old saying, you can never hit rock bottom. All you can do is decide to stop digging. And at this point, it's probably good to stop digging. We didn't get to the NHL Awards in a couple of seconds.
My stomach was sore from laughing so hard at those jokes last night.
All right. Before the NHL Awards, so we've been talking about how the NHL needs to be successful in Vegas. Even though it's not really a virgin market, we think of the Thunder, the erratic bonk years, and playing in Vegas and the Wranglers. This is still a new elite-level hockey market. So the expansion rules are very favorable. They will get players. They will get a goalie. They'll get a number four defenseman, a couple of them from a team. They will get some forwards as well. Doug, you win.
You will be shocked.
Take us through it. That's what I want.
You'll be shocked. I looked the other day. A guy did a sort of a Chicago Blackhawk look at who the 7-3-1 would be. And with the exemptions of the young guys, and they're not losing anybody. They're not losing anybody of value. So you'll be surprised. I know Gary Bettman has tried to do a really good job. I hope it works for Vegas. I hope they do what you just said. Mm-hmm. People don't lose good players. They figure it out
people are going to figure out how many bad contracts are out there.
And how many of them are going to be available. Right?
And how many are going to be available. And if you truly look at the way the salary cap has allowed you to build your team, you've got four or five top guys, and the rest of them, interchangeable.
But then to that point, though, won't NHL teams then, for this season specifically, hang on to bad contracts just so you can expose them?
Well, sure they will.
Yeah. And not buy players out because you need to have bad contracts.
Sure they
exposed.
Will. That's the point. And the other downside a little bit is that they have to go to $54 million as an expansion team. You got to go to $54 million.
That's why. And there was some heated debate. We talked about this the other day about the players and the escalator and why it was so important to raise it 5%. Even though that escrow would cost them anywhere between 16 and 18%. And they are wild about that. Yes. The players are wild about that. But it will keep from the buyouts. It will keep from guys getting sent down. Mm-hmm. And it will get you at least to that expansion draft.
Isn't there also a sort of tacit understanding that the players that went before used the escalator for us? So even though it hurts us in the long run, we need to do it for them. Like, isn't there that vibe in the PA as well? Like, we just can't stop with the escalator because we've benefited for it. All those guys that are on long-term big-ticket deals right now, it would sort of be hypocritical for them to now say, oh, yeah, these guys that are going to get paid, let's put the brakes on here because escrow's too high.
Are you doing what Will Arnett did last night?
Not as funny.
Talking, and then when it's Nick's turn, you've got to go to commercial?
We'll be right back.
I really didn't get that humor. I got to be honest with you.
Scott.
When I see Sid standing there.
And Kane. And Sullivan.
Kane and all of them, and it's like.
Sorry.
Oh, my God. Let them speak. Let them just get in one word. Please let them talk.
Well, they give Ben the one word. And it was word.
Yeah, word.
Hey. Where was the guy from St. Louis? I know he missed his flight. He was MIA.
Tony X.
That was the biggest part.
Yeah.
of the that was the biggest part
of
the
show.
Well,
that was a New York number.
Oh.
That was the biggest part of the show was finding him. And,
Avenue
and then
America
the truth
what?
Came out today. He missed his flight.
Yeah.
And he felt bad about not being there.
Okay, let's get
anyway,
to, let's get to the
NHL. I enjoyed it.
Let's
fun.
Get to the NHL awards, and we'll focus on more of the awards than everything around them. Patrick Kane, as your Hart Trophy winner, the first U.S.-born player to win the MVP.
You really should take that call because it's interrupting our show. Really?
It's an interview about expansion, and I told the guy to phone me at 9 o'clock this morning. He must be on a time change.
Well, there's
like,
Pacific
seriously.
Time. There is a
yes.
thing called Pacific.
Seriously. He's in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Oh, so it's 9 o'clock then. Yeah. Like, seriously. Does he think I'm... Like,
do the interview on the air. What the heck?
Seriously, I don't even know
we'll
the guy.
He's spinning our wheels
yeah,
on
we'll
the draft
wait.
Anyway. We can do it.
Wants
just
to do it
on
expansion. But, like, I'm sorry. I'm not in Vegas.
Patrick Kane is your Hart Trophy winner. Scott Morrison.
Yeah, he's my choice. Yeah. I mean, I...
What
I
did you base that one on?
I just think that he was great from start to finish in the season. And obviously led the league in scoring and points. And... As I say, I mean, you know, Sid had the great second half. A lot of people asking questions about the first half. Ben was good from start to finish, but I just thought Kane at times was just a dominant player, you know, stood ahead of the pack mm-hmm. many nights.
Yeah, and it's just not how he led the league in scoring, but how he got those points. The breakdown, right? Almost equal on the road mm-hmm. and at home.
Yeah.
And that to me,
and the margin,
that to me is just, that just speaks volumes of the consistency. On bringing it every night, like just the mindset that he had come in, the controversy off the summer, and just the way he was set up mentally to mm-hmm. to have a really good season, and he never took his foot off the pedal.
Mm-hmm. Kane for you?
I thought it was a very good choice. As a matter of fact,
over Sidney. I mean, see, Crosby too. When the coaching change was made, he would have the 91st place in the scoring race.
Hey, look, Sid.
91.
Sid deserved. To be on the ballot, Sid deserved it, and I said it halfway through the playoffs, he was the Conn Smythe for me. Yeah. Not even close for me. I know it was close, but it wasn't for me. But I think Kane deserved it more than him for what he did, as you said, Scott.
Yeah, and Sid wasn't on the final three for the Lindsay. It was Holtby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kane, Ben, Holtby.
I thought the selections last night, I thought all of them. I thought Doughty deserved the Norse, too. Mm-hmm. I really did. I give Carlson credit. I love Carlson. You like the way he plays. I thought Doughty deserved the trophy this year. You know, I thought he was the best defenseman.
Did you not get a sense, though, that this year with the Drew Doughty, it almost seemed as if the hockey writers, and Scott, you can talk to us about this with some authority being part of it, almost said to themselves, we haven't given this guy the award yet. This is his year to do it. Or was it really based on the season that he had?
I think it was a number of factors. I think, you know, obviously had a great season. He's been on the big stage year after year. I mean, he missed the playoffs the year before, but we've seen him on the big stage so many times. And I think the LA Kings and Daryl Sutter did a real nice job of getting the message out. And when they traveled, they talked a lot about Drew Doughty. Yeah. And got the message out of just how good he is and pay attention to this guy.
And
because he suffers from that West Coast.
And I know Carlson.
Everybody from the West
Carlson's
Coast
not
year.
The reason Ottawa didn't make the playoffs. But for me, when you win the Norris, I think your team should make the playoffs. Sorry, I just think that way. And maybe that's not fair. But
that's not part of the criteria. Listen, you can't just use that as an arbitrary
criteria. No, but
criteria,
I just think it's if you're the captain, you're their best player.
Yeah.
It shouldn't.
Yeah. And it's
maybe
it's just
how I feel.
And
maybe
Carlson
I'm wrong, but.
Is driven with the point production.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's a heck of a talent.
He is. There's no question about it. And those type of points that he puts up warrants being in those conversations. But overall, as the best defenseman, factoring other things besides the point production, that's why Drew Doughty got my vote.
Yeah. Well, Daryl Sutter said it during the season. If it's all about points, then rename the trophy. Or redefine the trophy because it's about being good, being the best, rather, at both ends
and
of the range.
You know what really bothered me, though, about the thing is when I read after that certain hockey writers...
Oh, this was...
Certain writers did not have Carlson or Doughty,
Top
in the top five. That they should be replaced.
And they will.
They should be...
Will they?
Their
will
names
they,
should be put out there. That's embarrassing.
So take us
I mean, behind, I don't want to speak for these. I used to be president.
Yeah, so peek behind the curtain then on the writers then. So that shows up, or someone places, with all due respect, Francois Beauchemin, right? Someone puts his name on there too. is that person sort of pulled aside? If you don't have Doughty in your top five, if you don't have Carlson in your top five, right, you have Francois Beauchemin there. Is that person pulled aside and said, what is this?
I think I remember many years ago there was the awards were in Toronto, and there's a situation, I think I was president still at the time, but nevertheless, there was a situation where Ray Bourque didn't get on a ballot. And I remember Mike Milbury, who was still with the Bruins at the time, and rightly so, went absolutely berserk running through the press room. And at the time, we had a discussion about not so much addressing the person who did it and finding out their rationale for it, but when it was an egregious situation, that you amended the voting list for the next season.
So, Scott, is that list?
And will they do that now? I don't know.
Grown over
they
the
should.
Years.
How many? How many?
I'm sorry, that's
how many of us are there?
That's unfair.
Voting for,
I can't remember what the number is now.
It
was fine tuned. There's a lot of more national people. They've embraced more broadcast people who do national broadcasts and follow the league on a regular basis. And then it's a list that is looked at very, very closely, but
that's skewed. That skews those guys who did that, not putting those two guys in the top five, skews the voting.
Oh, I guarantee
it cost Carlson and
Norris,
and could have cost
is.
Doughty.
Yeah,
I don't want to put really. You on, because I know you're not the president.
It's ridiculous.
It's Scott Burnside now, so I'm not asking you to speak on behalf of the Professional Hockey Writers Association, Scott, but shouldn't these are national awards. These are for people that really should cover all 30 teams. And if you have a beat writer who, let's just say, covers the Boston Bruins 24/7, are you really following Hampus Lindholm and Anaheim? Do you really know? Shouldn't it just be specifically people that cover the league as opposed to, with all due respect to the beat writers in Minnesota and Pittsburgh and Florida, et cetera, should those people not be disqualified for voting on something that compares all around the league?
I think the Panthers thought Yandel was on the ballot.
They paid him as such. We'll get there. Don't worry.
Just can't help yourself.
No,
man.
I can't. No, exactly.
Sorry.
The rationale is that a lot of the guys who are attached to a team, a beat guy for a team, still follow the league closely. And there's the hope, and by and large, 95%, whatever the number is, of the guys who do the voting, they do their research. Like, I know when I do voting, I talk to people.
Sure.
Because I don't pretend that you see enough of everybody. You want to talk to people, scouts and other managers, people like that, who are in the know to get their opinions and have as much information at hand when you do get to the voting. And I know a vast majority of the guys who are doing the voting, they pay serious attention to the detail and research when they do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's unfortunate when you get a situation where I'd love to know the rationale.
Some people still had Slade Ovechkin as a right winger.
How did?
Well, and we actually get.
I know you guys addressed that.
Mark Spector's part of the board of the writers. He sends out an email before the voting is done, reminding people this player is considered. Burns is a defenseman, not a forward. Ovechkin is a right winger.
If you have to tell, a writer that Burns is a defenseman, not a forward, he shouldn't be voting.
I would thug. If you have to send that in the first place.
No, but there's some. In the case of a Burns, I threw it as an example because there's years where he played both.
True.
Played a lot of both. Exactly. And so we're declaring him to be this as opposed to that.
Yeah.
And, in the year Ovechkin ended up on both wings, he played both wings that season. Mm-hmm. And the following season, they declared him to be this as opposed to both.
Yeah. Anyway, we hear a lot about.
I'd like to see the guys fired who did
we
that.
We hear a lot about the Hall of Fame should be more transparent about their voting. Mm-hmm. Is it, considering what we just saw last night, Doughty, Carlson, Beauchemin, is it time that the writers' votes were all public?
I don't know if people have that much interest in it, seriously. I guess if it's that controversial.
We're talking about it.
If it skews the vote.
In terms of transparency, what the league asks is that the voters do not put out what their ballots are beforehand. People could sit there and, if you've got 100 voters and 95 tweet out who they voted for, it's pretty easy to figure out how the night's going to unfold.
I understand that.
But after, you're more than welcome to put your votes out there.
How does this get out? Is this public knowledge?
Oh, yeah, they release all the votes. You just don't have the names attached to them as to who voted.
They have voting
totals. Yeah.
Okay, but they just don't release names.
See, I talked to one beat writer who brought up this point, to which I kind of said, well, then you shouldn't be voting. He said, it would be hard for us to walk. Let's just use Boston as an example for whatever reason. If I'm a Boston beat writer and I don't have Zdeno Chara in my top five, I have a hard time going back into that room.
Oh, that's baloney.
And I said to myself, then you should not be voting. There is that vibe out
he
there.
He should not be a sports writer.
Yeah. Yeah.
He should be a cheerleader. He should be on the booster club.
Well, we saw some.
Put him on the booster club. President.
We saw some votes last night that would suggest.
There are some in the league that do both.
Oh, no. Big time.
But that's not how you vote.
I know.
That's not how you do it. But
isn't the way around it transparency?
That, I have seen over the years instances where a guy didn't vote for Chara, for instance, and the manager and the coach came down hard on him, saying, what are you doing? And took it
So it goes both ways,
but at the end of the day, you do what's right and you vote for
take it away from the local guys. Take it away from the local guys.
You're calling for inquiry. That's what you want
forensic audit. Eugene Melnick forensic audit.
Who's the president right now?
Scott Burnside.
Elliot's involved too, I think.
He's on the executive, Mark Spector.
Okay.
We're calling on them to do an in-depth look at this situation.
We want a Shanahan summit.
Yes.
Okay, Nick's annoyed by this one. Let's move on.
And you know what? There's 30 million Canadians who don't care today.
You know what?
I know.
And you know what? To be quite honest, I take back everything I said because I don't care either.
Okay. Let's light a match under Doug. Keith Yandel. Over $6 million times seven. Yes.
Panarin. Everybody okay with Panarin? Like, come on. We know who the best rookie is, but not rookie of the year.
Right.
It's just not enough.
Right.
He didn't play enough.
Not enough.
But that's arbitrary.
Sample size was too small.
We have to throw it out because that's considered a season. Those 45 games are considered a season. We just can't make up our own criteria.
For me, McDavid is, I can't wait to watch him play. I can't wait to watch him
play. He would have been in the heart playing 82 games.
But, disagree.
But I thought Panarin was the right choice.
Yeah.
I did.
No, I did too.
And I that's not a knock at all.
Yeah. We're talking October to April.
Yeah. We got a break in a couple of minutes. Alex Kolagoski is going to join us in a couple. Keith Yandel.
Well, you know what? Yandel, it's interesting. He's, for me, he's better offensively than you think. A little better offensively than you think, and he's a little worse defensively than you think. So my problem with the deal is I think he's a guy that has to be protected in a game, that I think you got to watch who you have him against. And for me, that alone, I don't have him with those.
I had him between 5.25 and 5.75.
That's right. So
the Kolagoski numbers.
And I don't have him.
Six plus is too much for me.
To me, he's got to be your number one, too. And the next thing they're going to be faced with is Ekblad.
Mm.
When Ekblad's contract comes up, they will pay through the nose. Because this will not help them. I didn't like this.
Would you not have been better?
I like that they signed Yandel. I just don't like the deal.
Like, would you not have tried to get Campbell on a short-term deal?
They didn't like Campbell at the end. I know that for a fact. They didn't like Campbell.
I don't know if Campbell liked them.
Maybe it's a combo. But the thing is, I may be wrong, but I think Campbell would have went back for $4 million.
I agree with that.
So wouldn't you have rather?
But I don't know. That's what I would think.
I like Yandel too, but to your point,
Seven years.
You're not getting the complete package here.
No, you're not. You're not.
So why not put Campbell on a short term? Maybe he signs $8, $9 million for 2 years.
Yeah, and I think they could. And maybe I'm wrong on this, but I'm saying
for a direction I would have gone.
I bet you Campbell signs in Chicago for a sweetheart. You know,
four.
I think maybe less than four. They might get him for less than
three
four.
Three and a half.
They might, but I don't know.
They're interested in Trouba. We all believe Florida. Like they're going for it.
Yeah. How do you get Trouba?
Trouba lives one of two ways: trade or offer sheet.
Yeah. Well, they're not getting him on an offer sheet. We know that. Are they?
I don't know. You've been a general manager. You tell me. I just talk behind a microphone.
Well, I'll tell you, if it's Trouba or if it's Jones, who's the other rumored
Seth
guy for
Jones.
An office.
Seth Jones, yeah.
That'd be one that
Kippy mentioned the other day.
Well, you know, is there a little hard feelings from last year?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised that Jones would be the number one guy that could be on a lot of minds of GMs for an offer sheet.
Yeah,
and right. Trouba, but the bottom line is you're not letting either of those two guys go. You're going to match the offer. and you're going to have to get rid of somebody else on your team.
Could Columbus do it, though? They're right up against
it.
Chicago
knows it. No different than
on the market.
A lot of talk that Brendan Saad was going to get an offer sheet this time last year.
That's right, and they shipped.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So, I don't know. Is there a trickle effect there?
I don't know.
The other thing about Columbus is they've got Foligno on a deal. That's a tough deal at 5-5 or roughly. They've got Tootin on a bad deal. They've got Hartnell on a bad deal. And they've got Clarkson on a bad deal. So those guys are tough to move right now. I got to believe
they're apparently trying.
Oh, yeah, they're trying.
Yeah.
Well, Hartnell's name has been attached to Nashville going back to even before trade deadline.
That's a lot of money.
Right.
I was thinking about Jones, too. You know, let's not forget, Jones was benched in the last game of the year last year, okay? His contract's up. He played one shift, and the coach told him, you're not ready to play, and he sat him. I know for a fact Jones was really upset about that. Mm-hmm. Really upset about that. And so all these things come into play. I know that, you know, but maybe they're no big deals, but kind of fun to talk about it.
Sure, why not? Grist for the mill. Here we are, draft.
But I want to go back to that session with Shanahan, Will, and Gary in the office.
We'll do that on the break. And when we come back, we'll talk to Alex Kolakowski of the Arizona Coyotes. This is Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, the Fan simulcast on the NHL Network.
Now, prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, the Fan on demand. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to Hockey Central at noon. Jeff Merrick for Darren Millard around the table. Nick Kypreos, Scott Morrison, and Doug McClain. Have we moved on from Yandel?
Yeah.
Have we moved on from last night in Las Vegas? And have we moved on from the
Nights or whatever? The guy to the left of me, and I'm not talking about Scott Morrison, will bring it up again at some point between the end of the show.
I'm just trying to think of the funniest things that happened. And I'm just, every once in a while, those hilarious things pop into my head, and I got to get them out there.
He did have one funny line when he said he had the Toronto Maple Leaf playoff beard.
Yes, I thought
that was a good line.
You stole that. I was going to use that later.
Doug, greatness borrows, but genius steals. You know that. We're going to talk to Alex Kolakowski here in a couple of moments, Arizona Coyotes defenseman. You know, it is interesting how the old saying in the... Do we have him on? Is he on now? We do have. Okay, we'll bring him aboard. Alex Kolakowski of the Arizona Coyotes joins us now. Alex, first of all, congratulations, and thanks for doing the show today, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Pleasure to have you aboard. You know, there's an old saying in the industry that you never want to let a player get close to July 1st because when he can see July 1st, generally he really wants to see what's out there. Why did you sign with Arizona?
You know, it just felt right. I went down there and just talking with John, their GM, and Coach Tippett about the direction they think that team's heading. With their young core and the guys that they got coming. If I was going to sign somewhere for multiple years and be somewhere for a while, I wanted to be on a team that could really grow. And it just, everything felt right, and it was great. So why not?
Alex, we see this happen every year, and a lot of times it doesn't work. Just when you first heard about your rights being traded there and where you were and where Arizona was, and then after going through the process, obviously it worked for you, but can you speak of where your mindset was when you first found out your rights were being traded? Did they woo you enough? Did they show you enough in that short period of time that you did a 180 and maybe where your thought process was beforehand?
I mean, not necessarily. I think I was pretty open-minded going in. You know, we had a good idea that my rights were going to be traded, and then obviously we knew where they were going to be traded to. So, you know, I did my homework on the organization and where they're headed, and all signs are kind of pointing towards them taking a step and getting some stability within their organization. So I just, you know, going into it, I was open-minded, and it was, you know, a little bit eye-opening in the sense that it feels like they really have things really headed to a good place. So, yeah, I mean, I was impressed, and I mean, obviously. So it worked out good, and I'm happy.
What was the situation with Dallas?
We talked, my agent in Dallas, and it just, you know, the terms and financially, it just wasn't going to work out. They have obviously some, they're going to have run into some problems here in the next couple of years with where they got to put their money, with some big name players. So it, I mean, you know, it's just one of those deals. It's fine. It's a business and, you know, move on.
Yeah, that I was going to say, did they inform you that they weren't going to sign you or attempt to sign you? And secondly, all of a sudden, it's a pretty good young core with Ekman Larson and Murphy. Pretty good blue lines taking shape there.
Yeah, no, I mean, with Dallas, you know, we tried to work something out. They were interested in bringing me back. And, you know, like I said, it just the business side of it wasn't going to get there. So we move on. And yeah, like I was saying, with Arizona, they got that young core and they're going to grow together. And, you know, that's kind of, you want to hit that sweet spot where all your good players are kind of in that same age range. And, you know, they kind of have that going on. So I expect the team to grow quick.
Did you play with Tippett in Dallas?
No, I didn't.
Okay, you came after.
Just know of guys, yeah.
Okay.
So, Alex, did part of the tour in Arizona include a trip to Quebec City? And I only say that tongue-in-cheek because you...
Don't ruin the kid's day, Kipper.
Listen, I'm just...
Wow.
You talk about stability, and I'm sure they showed you a lot of that, but one thing that we don't really know is what building that they'll play in a few years. And it is kind of hanging out there a little bit. When you signed, was that in the back of your mind at all? That uncertainty where you're going to be in a few years from now if it doesn't work out?
Anthony LeBlanc has told us numerous times that things are perfect in Phoenix.
Let Alex answer.
Sure. I mean, obviously that was a major concern of mine. That was put to rest very early in the time I was there. I think I might have a scoop that you guys maybe don't have. So,
Alex.
Bring it, Alex.
Headline time.
You guys will know more, I think, in the coming weeks here. So,
you're going to help fund the arena with your new deal, or are you going to become an owner out there?
Not even close.
That's great stuff. Thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah, they made me feel very comfortable about that situation.
Good.
So, it'll be good.
Way to ruin a guy's day, Kippy.
No. He didn't ruin it. He made our day by giving us a little inside information.
I mean, Alex does us a big favor coming on. Throw him under the bus.
You see how I got that information out? Is that not good journalism by me?
Very good.
Thanks, Alex.
Before we let you go, I want to get your thoughts on the Arizona Coyotes. What was your read on playing against them all these years?
Always a hardworking team. I think you'd always know that going into the game that it wasn't going to be an easy game. You know, the coach Tippett, his players always play hard for him, and they play with good structure. So I think taking that and adding in some of these top end guys that are coming and that are already there, the young guys, you know, I think offensively there's definitely steps that are going to be taken and, you know, that's kind of where that next level is going to come.
We look forward to it. Alex, once again, congratulations on the deal. Good luck with the Coyotes, and we'll catch up down the road.
Thanks, Alex.
All right, sounds good.
Good luck, guys.
Alex Goligoski of the Arizona Coyotes.
See how I hit him with the hardcore questions that have to be asked on this show?
Seriously, you dug it out, Kipper.
I'm surprised you didn't ask him what he thought about Will last night as the host of the award show. That's as tough as your question.
So we'll wait for a couple of weeks with the Arizona Coyotes. News that will make our jaws hit the ground. Any idea there, Scoops?
Nah, I'm all dried out now. Okay. That's it.
What he was going to tell us is Anthony LeBlanc told them they're going to build a new building.
They're going to tie into the university there.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Good. That's great. I hope that happens in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Correct. Looks like where it'll be.
Okay, let's.
Is that where the university is?
Let's focus on, all right, so, yeah, on the draft.
Okay, draft. Okay. Coming up
do
tomorrow.
Do your mock draft.
Round.
I watched you on TV do the mock draft. Would you run through that for us?
You want me to go through? Okay,
right
pick
now,
one.
I'm predicting right now there's going to be a ton of movement.
I agree 100%.
A ton of movement.
Okay, one and two, you don't have to think. Turn your brains off. It's going to be Austin Matthews, Patrick Laine. Or do you think otherwise?
No, I think otherwise.
Okay, explain.
I think otherwise. I think. I don't think it's cut and dry with Winnipeg.
Okay.
I think that there's some people that think Puljujärvi will be a better fit for them than Patrick Laine.
Is that because they don't want another tracksuit to end up in the shower?
We talked about this. You just mentioned it, that the debate is whether you want the pure shooter or the guy that can skate, much like we saw a lot of the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Stanley Cup final.
The way it's distinguished is Puljujärvi is a better player on the rush. Patrick Laine is a better player when the play sets up in the offense.
And I'm hearing that a lot of people feel the same way in the Winnipeg organization. Hmm. And if that's the case, will they be willing?
But how low will they go,
to
Nick?
Switch that pick?
How low will they go?
Mac, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
That's a really good
because
question.
If you're going to drop,
right?
If you drop below
now,
four,
everybody's
five,
talking about the Edmonton Oilers maybe moving down. Maybe they could find
that.
A way to move up second and maybe find a way to take Laine with Connor McDavid.
To be the shooter.
To be the shooter.
Yeah.
Okay? That's if Winnipeg feels that they can still get Puljujärvi at three or four.
Right.
Well, they'd have him at three for
but
sure.
But Columbus is going to take
Puljujärvi. Edmonton has Nugent Hopkins to play with.
Yeah.
You tell me.
Got Eberle to play with.
Yeah.
Can they move up?
So you're telling me that Kekalainen's not taking a Finn?
Well, Canadian GMs don't take Canadian players all the time. American GMs don't take American
players.
I'm not
talking
all
about
the time.
American GMs or Canadian GMs. I'm talking about Kekalainen.
Can he flip that pick in a bad contract?
Here's the thing. That's the
only way you can move a couple of them, I guarantee you that.
Interesting thing about Columbus is, you know, they brought in a number of players for individual interviews. And it's some of the heavyweight guys, you know, Puljujärvi and Pierre-Luc Dubois, like the high-end guys, you'd expect them to do that because they're a number three and those are the players. But they also bring in a player like Jake Bean, who will probably go just a little bit outside the top 10. Clayton Keller will go out a little bit outside the top 10. So does that not indicate that they are doing research should they want to move down to that level?
Or that they're trying to acquire another first round pick. That may be what they're trying to do there.
Nope. Prepared for all eventualities.
Can Montreal and Edmonton maybe work something out?
For
Montreal's at nine.
Pierre-Luc
Dubois.
So you're suggesting there could be a ton of movement. And
I think there has a chance.
There typically is not.
There's typically
a lot of talk about it, and typically very little. Very little. And I remember getting 1,000 calls, but very few ever happening.
Yeah.
You know, we moved from 3 to 1.
Yeah.
In a draft, and it was...
How hard was that to do?
It took all night. Duds and I started talking at 8 o'clock at night, and it got done the next morning at 11. Why that long? 5 minutes because he had to work out a deal with Atlanta because he was going from 1 to 3.
Sure.
So he had to make sure Atlanta wasn't taking his pick, and he had to do a trade with Atlanta to make sure they didn't take who he wanted.
But why do those conversations take so long?
Because you think long and hard about it. You'd go back and talk to your people. You go back and then you maybe interview the guys you're thinking about. So it changes. But we started 8 o'clock and I found out 5 minutes before the draft in Toronto here that we made the trade. Wow. 3 to 1.
It'll be fun.
It's going to be a fun time.
It's going to be fun.
The movement, listen, Calgary, we all believe, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois is one of the more interesting names because a lot of teams want this player, Calgary Flames certainly being one of them. How high would they have to move up to get this player? You can almost guarantee you'll get Dubois if you move up to third.
Are you suggesting this kid, who I hear great things about, is going to go higher than Tkachuk?
It's a chance.
Yeah, that's interesting.
If Montreal's picking?
Yes.
There's a chance.
In the top four?
Thanks for a great draft.
Think about Dubois, too. He's played you know, wing his entire life, but second half of the season with the Eagles, he was a centerman and was good until he ran into Webster. John,
Bailey
went in there for
Bailey
you, Doug.
Webster shut him down.
And we're shutting down the program. And we thank you for tuning in today, either on radio or on television. Back tomorrow when we'll be in Buffalo for the 2016
Have
NHL
fun, guys.
Draft. Should be a lot of fun. Could be a lot of moves.
I'm going to watch you guys on TV.
I know. From the beach. Very nice. On behalf of the crew, on behalf of Doug, Scott, and Nick, Jeff Merrick signing off. Talk to you tomorrow when Hockey Central at Noon returns.